Let us pray. Let us pray before the sermon. Lord, open our ears, open our hearts, so we may listen for your voice, speaking to us in this moment, calling to us through scriptures, so we may understand your promises, your love that you offer us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The message today is full of questions, as this is my style when I do it in Bible study. Because since as a child, when we learn to speak, when we know the language, we ask questions. Kids, Sunny will ask, why is mom, why is dad? How? What? Who? Where? So my questions are, is Christmas just an old story of God coming as a baby in a manger? Why God, the creator, the sustainer of this universe, had to come and become a human being, to become the flesh? How well do we know God? What can we learn from his humility? And what do we expect of Christmas? There is a story about a family on Christmas Eve. This family had a tradition where the mother and children will go to the Christmas Eve service, and the father will stay home and read the paper. When the family returns home from church, they will all gather to open their presents. The father was not an evil man, but he just could not believe in the childhood stories anymore of God coming as a baby in a manger. As the family left the church, he opened the evening paper and began to read by the fireplace. Suddenly, he heard tapping on the window. It was a bird flying against the warmth of his home. The man had a compassion on the bird. He went outside, hoping to bring it in. So he approached the bird. The bird just flew against the window even harder. Pretty soon, the bird flew into the bushes below the window. Half frozen, yet too afraid to be caught by this huge man. The more the man tried to reach for the bird, the more the bird flew frantically into the snow and thorns of bushes. After seeing this bird continue to injure itself, the man yelled in frustration, "Stupid bird, can't you understand that I am trying to help?" The man paused and thought, "If only you understood, if only I could become a bird and you get to understand." Just then, the church bells rang. When this man heard the bells this time, he fell to his knees and began to cry, saying, "Oh God, I did not understand. Oh God, I did not understand." I chose Genesis and John for our many readings, Because both, if you notice, both start with in the beginning. Both Genesis and John refer to the origin of life and light. In Genesis 1, God spoke his creation into existence. In Genesis 1:1, reveals the Creator. John begins his gospel by stunning us with his description of Jesus Christ. He never mentioned Jesus until verse 17. John presents his narrative of the birth of Jesus as a second Genesis account. Jesus, the Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All that is created was created through him. Verse 14, the Word became human and made his home among us. We sang before, O come, all ye faithful, Jesus, to thee by your glory given, Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. John 1:1-14 reveals the identity of the Creator as human being. Jesus Christ was born into the world, not from this world. He did not emerge out of history. He came into history from outside. Jesus says, you are from below. I'm from above. You belong to this world. I do not. That's John 8:23. Jesus is not becoming God, but incarnate God, coming into human flesh. This word that we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, as John said. We touch with our hands. Even in his last book, John said, in his vision, he saw Jesus is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which is the Word of God. He is the beginning and the end. He is Alpha and Omega. Amen. So how well do we know God? How can we know him? How many years we have been Christians? 1 year? 5 years? 20 years? 50 years? 70 years? 80 years? How many times we read the Bible cover to cover? I watched a video, a man, his testimony. He just met Jesus in his vision. In 6 months, he read 3 times the Bible. 3 times. A Muslim man didn't even know Jesus. He was so hunger for Jesus. Because to know God well and to find him, we need to read his words. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God breathed. Psalm 119:105, the one we just sang, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Proverbs even said, Ike 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. I challenge you, Christians. We come here every week, month after month, years after years. A challenge. Start reading the Bible so you know God. In the Old Testament, we remember God of his display of His presence in the creation, flood, burning bushes, 10 plagues, fire by night, cloud by day, parted the Red Sea. Rock become the spring water. And many, many miracles. But what God intended to do on that first Christmas was totally opposite of that. We would have expected Him to enter our world with ostentatious, yes, fanfare, with flashy, with glamour, because His majesty, His glory. Imagine if we had known God ahead of time that He was planning to visit our planet. Where would we have expected to find Him? Would our stop have been an animal store, a barn, or a palace? Will we go to the house of a carpenter and find the designer of the universe? Or we go and find Him in a royal family? If only our humility could resemble the death of Christ. Jesus was poor. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. He's trying to teach us something. Because the first sin entered this world was pride. Adam and Eve wanted to become God, knowing good and evil. In Genesis 3, His humility should teach us not to be proud to what we know, to what we have, of what can we do. Or maybe we know that, oh, I'm better than anybody else. Because human beings tend to be seen and to be heard. Sometimes we think as Christians that we are an elite club, God's club, because after all, we do God's work here. And we boast about ourselves. We think we are better than others. We are righteous people. Or we have less sin than others. We need to ask ourselves, what kind of standard do we use for comparing this? Because if we use human standard, we do not need the Redeemer. But if we use God's standard, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Even John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but a sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Church is hospital for sinners. We need Jesus as our only salvation. We cannot be part of the kingdom of God just because we are merely Christians or born in a Christian family or have Christian's name or we come from Christian's country, or our grandfather built a church. We can only enter the kingdom of God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. What is our priority in our life? If we give our life, we surrender our life to God, what is our priority? Where are we going to place it? Are we going to put God as our priority or our material things? We worry about so many things that not going to last. Our life will not gonna last. Our wealth, our everything, our names. People will forget about you in 100 years. We have to think, have a ponder. What we gonna put, make our priority in our lives. Because walk with Christ, we have to put Him as our terms. Not our terms. We don't dictate God. Because once we all receive Him who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Wow, this is an incredible good news. To become children of God, children of King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Christianity is different than other religions. We do not achieve our salvation, we receive our salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. My conclusion. Christmas is a time of wonder, magic, joy, peace, love, hope. But it's a time for us to ponder. His love. God had to become a human so He could die in humanity and to take the punishment for our sins, which is death. And He defeated in His resurrection. We need to have this sense of love the lost that Jesus came. His purpose is love the lost. God came to us as a baby in a manger so He could enter our personal experience and know deeply with whatever temptation or challenge we face in this life. God is not concept anymore since Jesus came. God is not like a force that, oh, please force be with you. God is human flesh. He came. He knows the pain. He knows our pain, our struggle, our shame, our dark side, our sin, our brokenness, our sickness, in any circumstances that we could ever experience in our lives. He had been through all this. God came to our aid to save us when we are tempted to give up hope, to turn angry and cynical and doubt of God's goodness. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Are you tired of running away from God? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though he dies. This is a wonderful, wonderful message. Jesus came to restore our relationship with God and with other people and with the world around us. I'll ask, before we sing this beautiful song, let us pray. Jesus, you came to save the lost one, the hurt one, and the outcasts. You touch the untouchable. You forgive the unforgivable. You redeem the sinners. And you make friend with the despicable one. Jesus is still ready to reach out and to touch who will come to him and surrender your life to him. Lord, maybe we are too shy to come to you this morning. Keep talking to us, Lord, even we left this place, so we can surrender our life to you. We can say, Lord, I want to follow you, Lord, because I know you are the only salvation in this world. Keep talking to us, Lord, with your spirit. Save us, because your purpose of coming as a Christmas baby is to save the whole world. Thank you, Lord, for your present, the best ever free gift we can think of. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.